If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Yeah, I'm still not used to it. I'm still not used to being back, man.
You've hampered yourself in the show notes by highlighting the part that you highlighted for the 90s show and then not unhighlighting it before we return doing the regular show.
But you know what's going to happen the second that I unhighlight like the classic 90s series like intro guidelines. That's when we're going to be officially kind of confirmed for when the break happens, which, by the way, we need to start off the top of the show by me acknowledging that I was wrong. Last week, I said that after episode 3, we were likely going to go on a hiatus. I was completely wrong. Episode 4, we do have a release date for, which is March 23rd. So we do not yet know when that hiatus is coming. But I do think it's safe to say a hiatus will come. That will be a very kind of COVID-inspired hiatus, more so than like a release, you know, like competing with other things on television. You know what I mean?
Well, but I mean, that is a hiatus. March 23rd?
No, because we're... No. That's when episode 4 comes out. So we've got...
We got episode 3, which is going to be on the 17th.
That's correct.
Yeah, not the 17th, the 16th.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we're rocking and rolling. At least we got episode 4. We have release dates for, so again... I was wrong. I want to admit that. Some people actually kind of called me out on like, where's that coming from? And I was like, well, we don't have a release date. And it just makes sense to me that that was the case. So if I put that out last week and you took that as gospel, that was more of my opinion, not necessarily any kind of fact. So occasionally on this show, we share our opinions. And so I'm sorry if I misconstrued that, but I was wrong. Episode 4 does have a release date. It is March 23rd. We do not yet know when that break is happening. But as soon as we do know, we will let you know, because that's what we do here at Flash TV Talk. Man, we have got quite the episode to talk about, but before we can, I want to let all the folks over at patreon.com/TV Talk know that we are very appreciative for their support of this show. We would not be able to do this. We would not be able to bring you the classic reviews that we were able to kind of get us through that COVID season. We would not be able to even be joining you right now to talk about a monumental, an epic, a incredible episode of The Flash that we're about to dive into. Wouldn't happen without the direct support from our patrons over at patreon.com/TV Talk. So head over there, become part of our Discord, get some great benefits for supporting the show. And again, that is patreon.com/TV Talk. And yeah, man, we've got a big one this week. Are you ready to do it?
Let's do it.
All right, man, let's dive into the rundown.
The rundown.
Episode 2 of Season 7, The Speed of Thought, directed by Alexandra LaRoche and written by
Jonathan Butler and Gabriel Garza.
Bell, what happened to this episode?
Well, after mourning the loss of Nash and the Wellses, Barry and Sisko work on a solution to save Iris, Camilla, and Sing by opening a portal to the Mirrorverse. Meanwhile, in the Mirrorverse, Iris plans a rendezvous with Camilla and Sing. Barry's return speed from the artificial speed force gives him speed thinking, resulting in him being able to predict outcomes, but at the cost of his emotions. In the process, he exposes Ava as a mirror duplicate in the middle of a live television broadcast, forcing her to flee. When Barry decides to prioritize saving Iris while disregarding the others, Sisko, Frost, and Allegra team up to stop him, but fail. In the Mirrorverse, Camilla and Sing start having seizures since they were sent there with the mirror gun. Barry opens the portal, forcing Iris to come through and leave Singh and Kamala behind. However, after coming through the portal, Iris starts having seizures. After Barry realizes he has endangered his friends and wife by relying on his speed thinking to stop Ava, he disables the artificial speed force, putting him back to having his speed in danger of depleting. Elsewhere, Ava decides to replace all of Central City with the mirrored duplicates and starts by replacing CCPD officer Daisy Korber. Flashback to 20 years ago, Eobard Thawne replaces the original Harrison Wells and kills him, placing his body in a grave. However, mysteriously, Wells rematerializes and is now alive, standing on the top of his own grave.
Dun, dun, dun!
See, that's a good, that's a very good dun, dun, dun moment right there. Like, that was...
Takes you back.
You know, premier dun, dun, dun moment of, like, the series almost.
Yeah, no, that was a good one, man. But it is easy and almost desirable, if I may, for us to dive straight into the speedster speculation because of... There were so many cliffhangers that we got at the end of this episode. And, you know, you do get that feeling of so much being packed into a couple of different episodes, man. You know, for one thing, we have to remember that the way last season was handled was they condensed it down to essentially like three graphic novels, right? Or maybe you could say two graphic novels and a special, because you had everything that came before Crisis, and then you had Crisis, and then you had everything that came after Crisis. And in this episode, we started to see them diving in and kind of pulling some elements out and kind of referencing some elements from the first part of season six. And so you do kind of see that melding together, but there is an additional energy that came with this style of storytelling. Because of COVID, man, we don't really know what their philosophy is going into season seven beyond just needing to kind of wrap up what was last season and kind of these early episodes and then setting up what will be for the, you know, at least the immediate future. That being said, man, there was so much like, it's just a single bite. You just get full off a single. It's like Lambus bread from the Hobbits, you know, from the Lord of the Rings, man. You eat a bite of it, it'll fill up your tummy. There's a lot going on here. And so we're going to get to the speedster speculation and we will get there. I promise. But let's dive into this because there's so much to do. Let's first talk about this whole super speed thinking that Barry has kind of unlocked through the ASF. ASF? Yeah, ASF.
Yeah, ASF. Yeah.
So one of the things, I don't know if you got this, but, you know, I wouldn't call myself a fan of the Big Bang Theory, but I'm, you know, I have a pulse. I am alive and I'm an American white geek, you know, like I'm aware that Big Bang Theory exists, right? Like I'm aware of this show. Here,
I wish I was aware. I wish I wasn't
right,
aware.
Exactly. So I'm not a fan of it, but I'm aware of it. I've seen several episodes. I mean, it's in the syndication because there's 1,000 of them. And if there's one thing you get very quickly from that show, the character of Sheldon Cooper is a huge fan of the Flash, and sometimes pretends to be the Flash. Here's the thing. I kind of feel like we saw the Flash pretending to be Sheldon Cooper for the first half of this episode.
Yeah, man, let's talk about that because I didn't get to watch the episode live. So I had to watch it on the CW app, which took me a while because there's a weird issue with it where I couldn't watch the last 15 minutes of the show. But anyway, I finally watched everything, but like that night where it came out, I saw some spoilers on Twitter about the speed thinking. Right. You know, it wasn't like massive. It was just like, oh, like, you know, speed thinking confirmed. And like, you know, the panel from the comic page was kind of like, you know, was talking about it and stuff. And the thought that I had about it was, you know, OK, cool. It's going to be Barry speed thinking, but it's going to be Barry who can just think fast.
Right. Yeah.
And that wasn't what we got. Like, I think Grant did a great job portraying this version of what they were trying to represent with speed thinking about how, like, for some reason, it speed thinking turns you into some emotionalist, you know, logic monster. And I don't know. Like, I didn't like that. I didn't like that speed. Like, for why does everyone all of a sudden they become, you know, smart, have to be this, you know, emotionless jerk?
Okay. I get that pushback, man. I really do. It is kind of that. It's almost like a trope, almost stereotype of kind of that nerdy intellectual, again, Sheldon Cooper-esque kind of portrayal of this, oh, they're smart, so they're awkward and that sort of thing. But no, I feel like the way they explained it, you know, actually made a lot of sense. Sisko references the fact that the idea of constructing a speed force, the way that Eobard was able to do it and control it had everything to do with emotion. So there is not just the science element of it. There is this kind of spiritual, there is kind of this emotional aspect of things. And for in order to access, to contain, to utilize the negative speed force, it requires negative emotion. Like, there has to be that. They didn't want Barry to turn to the dark side, if you will. They didn't want him to have to, like, tap into that. So what Sisko did is like, okay, well, we're just going to suppress emotion. We're going to completely remove that aspect of things in order for you to engage with the speed force. And it's like, you know, it's one of those things is you give energy, you get energy. That's what ends up happening here. So he connects to the artificial speed force, but because he is doing so, because Sisko has put those parameters around like no emotion, it's shutting down his emotion. So not only is he able to get really smart, which is kind of like a fun new power, it's also that he literally can't tap into his emotion.
Well, no, but hold on. Like, that was an unintended side effect. Like, yeah, you're absolutely right about, like, you know, the negative speed force required negative emotions, and Sisko wanted to prevent that. So what he did is he put like he replaced it with like a neutral argon OMG science right?
And it's OMG speed force, but yeah.
Yeah, the unintended consequence from that was that Barry lost his emotions, right? Like, that it wasn't like Sisko wasn't trying to devise a way to like, oh, we'll just sever emotions. It's like, we're going to put this in there instead of negative emotions, and the unintended consequence.
Well, no, okay. So
emotions.
It wasn't intentional, but the reality is it happened. So it's not, I didn't see it from that trope of like, oh, he's smart and therefore he's a jack. You know, like, I didn't see it from that standpoint. I saw it entirely as like, oh no, this tracks. It may not have been the intended purpose, but it does make sense.
But I mean, like, look at Spock. Like, Spock's a logical being. And even Spock will be like, you know, when they're commenting on a plan or something like that, like Kirk's like, hey, you know, let's do this. And Spock's like, that's not logical. But like, he's going to go with it. He's not just going to be like, no, I'm a sociopath. We're not going to do that at all. And
not Spock.
Because it's illogical
Barry's
to do
not
that.
Spock. If anything, Barry's Data. Like that's the way he was playing. It is more of like a Data than a Spock. And I mean, like, I'm not a Star Trek guy, but.
Yeah, but Data doesn't come across as nearly as much of a sociopath as Barry did in this episode.
Sometimes he does. I mean, like sometimes he does, not always, but I mean, like, and we only got, if you only got Data for one episode when he was acting like a sociopath, then, you know, then yeah, that's what you get.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the thing.
Like, here's the deal. This provided an opportunity to see a very anti-Barry Barry. Like, he's right. His emotions, his heart has gotten him in trouble several times. And his, like, the decisions that he made while we're like, you know, when the kind of the call of like, oh, we're going to take the psychopath and we're going to put her on edge, and Barry's like, they always do that to us, like, literally. And I was actually thinking, like, that is literally what every single supervillain has done to Team Flash, is they get them thinking about something else and get them all up in their feelings, and then they go and they do the thing they actually want to do. So it's like, oh no, we're going to turn the tables on them. I thought that, you know, Sheldon Barry made a lot of sense from that standpoint.
But, you know, two wrongs don't make a right, and
sometimes it just they do. Like you can't say that. That's not logical. Sometimes I do.
Look, two wrongs don't make a right, but three lefts do. I don't know. It was just something I wasn't expecting them to use that trope. Like, I figured, like, why can't we have Barry get this new power and still be Barry and, like, you know, think smart and do all that kind of stuff and then not turn into a sociopath? And the whole, I don't know, I guess the trope of, like, you know, highly smart, intelligent people not having any emotion at all is just, I don't like that. If like, I don't.
Okay, so you, this has been an ongoing thing for you too, because, like, generally speaking, you do not like, you are, and I don't mean this in a negative way, you are sensitive to when, like, nerds are portrayed in a negative light in media. You, I remember when we actually reviewed the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles reboot, you were really upset about the fact they made Donatello skinnier because he was smarter, right?
Did I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That you took big issues with the fact that, like, oh he's got to be skinny because he's, like, he's smarter. Like, why does he have to be scrawnier than the rest of them?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, oh yeah, the nerd. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's coming back.
I mean,
to me
I know
now.
You put that movie out of your mind. So, like,
yeah. I have scrubbed the corners of my mind for that. But yeah, it's just, you know, why do we have to rely on the tropes and stuff? Why can't we just say Barry's smart, he retains his emotion, he gets this new power, and have some other kind of conflict pop up? I don't know. It just feels like, you know, it's like a misrepresentation of of that. And I don't know.
It's okay, man. It's all right. Listen, first of all, you're not smart enough to really qualify for this anyway. So I appreciate the fact that I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, like, you know, I'm a super genius, clearly, and I don't act like this. So this must be wrong. No, I don't know. It just doesn't feel real. Like, it doesn't, you know,
feeling real is interesting, because that is one thing that there was, you know, like, first of all, Grant's a great actor. I don't want to, like, besmirch him.
No, he is.
But, like, we saw last week, you know, him having fun playing Tom Cavanaugh's version of all of these Harrison Wells, right? And I think it's safe to say, by intention, every single one was a bit over the top. Like, none of them were perfect. I don't know. Was H.G. Wells? No. What was the one that was, like, you know, always with the drumsticks?
That was HR.
No, it was H.R., wasn't it?
Yeah.
H.R. His H.R. was pretty spot on. But, like the rest of them, I thought, like, his French accent was so... Like, come on, man. Like, you know, he was hamming it up. And you do get the sense that maybe we got a little bit, like, additional ham here, because it does, you're right, it was a little over the top to the point of kind of practically unbelievable. Like, he was playing, it's like they said, Grant, you're a robot, and so he was a robot.
Yeah, like, you know, it's just intelligence and sociopathy. I don't think, I mean, I'm not a neurologist. I don't know. I haven't studied this stuff, but, like, I don't see why there always has to be this disc, like the thinker, you know, same kind of thing. He's super smart and he's, like, a sociopath. Like, I don't see why there always has to be this, oh, the super smart guy, doesn't have any sort of emotional connection with anybody around.
It's a comic book show, man. It worked. For me, man, it worked. And I thought the excuse about how, like, the Speed Force connects to emotions as well was kind of a fun way to have fun with that trope and actually make it make sense in a kind of way, and provide an opportunity for, and I don't want to jump ahead of things here, but, like, probably one of the most epic battle sequences that we've seen on the show to date. But we'll jump into that here in a minute. Iris, man, she is in the mirror universe. Her power, like, she is kind of almost coming bonded with it, as we've kind of predicted. It does seem like maybe she might be heading to, you know, become the new mirror master to some extent. Given the fact that we know that Eva's end game now seems to be more about, like, you know, wanting to bring the mirrorverse into our universe, or, like, maybe to merge the two. Let's start with this. What did you think? Like, where do you think Eva's going? Like, what do you think her end game is here?
Like, I at the end of the episode, I wasn't quite sure. I was kind of thinking maybe she's trying to, like, steal someone's physical body and transmit her mind into it, so that she can, quote, you know, be a real boy or whatever. Right. What was interesting, though, was in the description, because the description for this episode, you know, it was like Eva decides to replace all of Central City with mirror duplicates. So I think, like, when she was, that sort of clicked with me. That made sense, because she's sitting there and she's on the floor and she's like, all, you know, I'm not real, or, you know, whatever she was saying when she was like the Manchu, she was reciting that and whatnot. And then she kind of, like, you know, has a smirk and says, but it can be. And so, yeah, I feel like the idea here is that by replacing everyone with mirror duplicates, then she will not be different and everything will be normal, right? Because she's a mirror duplicate, so is everybody else.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So it's not as much about bringing the mirrorverse to our reality. It's actually more about, like, bringing, like, creating mirror duplicates, replacing all of the real people with what she feels like with her people.
Right. Yeah. Like, she doesn't, yeah, because, again, my first thought was, like, she just wants to be real, so she's going to try and swap consciousnesses with a real person. But now it seems more likely that, no, she just wants – if she replaces everybody with a mirror duplicate, especially if they're all under her control, then no one will feel that she is different and shouldn't be there, or, you know, be concerned the fact that she's a meta or any of that kind of stuff. So it kind of solves all of her problems. It's a pretty big task, a pretty big undertaking. But seeing as she can be in any reflective surface almost instantaneously, it might not be too big of a problem for her.
No, that's really good. All right. I hadn't put that together, but that actually makes a ton of sense. But that means we're going to end up with a lot of people, if that's the case. By next episode, theoretically, we're going to end up with a lot of people that are actually trapped in the mirror universe. with kind of this, you know, theoretically speaking, is that okay? Or is it like us? You know what I mean? Like, when you're in there, are you tethered to your other person? I don't think we saw that before.
Well,
but I guess we are seeing that you can't survive, right? Like Singh and Camilla are not doing okay.
Yeah. It seems like the method by which you go into the Mirrorverse determines the outcome of what it does to you. Right. Because, Iris in her merging or whatever you want to call it, with the Mirrorverse, instinctively knows that because they were brought there by the mirror gun, it's causing a different effect on them. And so we saw this cop, Daisy Korber, she got pulled into the Mirrorverse. So nice. It's going to have a different impact on her. Same as Iris. Her impact will be the same as Iris. And so,
oh, interesting. Okay. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and again, like Iris.
Well, look at Ava though. Cause she wasn't pulled in per se. She got kind of beat in, so to speak. And she died. Like, that's the other thing too, is I'm kind of wondering if, like, is it possible that part of the reason why Eva is able to, like, do everything and, like, exist in the way she has been able to and engage with the Mirrorverse in the way that she has been able to is because she doesn't have a duplicate. Because she is the duplicate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but she still kind of lost her mind.
Or did she ever have it? She's the dupe.
I don't.
Mirror well, Iris.
No, hold on. Yeah. No. Because she is the mirror version, right? Like, so she got
right.
Her consciousness or something got pushed in there, got transferred in there, right? The reason why Iris is having such a hard time in there is because her physical self is in there. She's the real Iris in the mirror world. And so, like, everything right. being backwards and all that kind of stuff is like flipping her mind around and messing with her mind. I think the reason maybe Ava kind of went crazy is because she tried so hard to get out and she couldn't. So it was just, it's like a different kind of madness. Whereas like, Iris's mind is sort of fracturing.
Well, okay. If I may, this might not be madness. It could be Sparta.
Yeah. Well, that's how they should, you know, get rid of Mirror Master is, you know, the Flash or Iris even is like, this is the Mirrorverse and like kicks her through the mirror or something like that. I don't know.
All the way through. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be great. No, that's good. That's good. I hadn't thought about it from that standpoint. But yeah, so, you know, we do see, of course, Barry, Sheldon Barry has figured out a means of getting her out. She's not going to do it because she is not going to abandon Singh and Camilla. She's not going to abandon Singh and Camilla. And I am curious about this. Like at first when they introduced the concept of, all right, so it's either her or them, was this, and this is probably going to be a theme, especially in these first few episodes here. Was this a means of offing some characters? Like, was this going to be like, oh, Barry killed like Singh. You know what I mean? Like that ain't nothing. That's Singh's been with us since the beginning. He's a pilot character.
Well,
and Barry just killed him, but we needed to get rid of some people.
Yeah. Well, like as soon as I heard, you know, so we can only take some of them out, I was like, okay, yeah, they're definitely getting rid of probably Singh. Maybe Camilla and Singh, but I didn't think there was going to be like Barry's not going to kill them. Right. Like I feel like, okay, so they got Iris out. I still think those two characters are up in the air, especially Singh. Yeah. I think Singh, cause he obviously, you know, he looked the worst when they were meeting at the rendezvous point in the speed lab. Right. And so yeah. I feel like he might be, cause he might've been in there longer. I don't know. I think Singh's done for. I think they're, I mean, and this is kind of speculation. I don't know if we want to.
No, I mean, well, so here's the reality. This episode requires almost everything because they left literally everything on a cliffhanger. Like, look, we got the big one, right? We've got the big speculation we're going to talk about. But I mean, like, you know, I think this is fine. Like, we have to talk about this. We absolutely have to talk about this. Everything from a standpoint of speculation, because literally that everything is speculation.
Yeah. So, that said, I think Singh's done for. I think they're going to get Camilla out, maybe. in order to give a proper send-off to her and Cisco when they inevitably leave.
She's not a series regular, right? Like, she was not one of the ones. I know Allegra was and Chester was, but I don't think that she was.
I'd have to look. But
and Sue was, actually. I forgot about Sue, but, like, she's supposed to... Wasn't she named as a series regular for this season?
We're talking about last season?
Well, no, for this season. Like wasn't... When they were, like, naming everybody, including the cast of Fast and the Furious, like, didn't we... I thought she was
maybe
one, but I could be wrong.
Well, what's interesting is you know, it was mentioned Ralph and Sue were mentioned, and they're like, oh yeah, they're out.
See, I think she's not coming back. I think it's too difficult. Like, I think we're gonna like brush Ralph under the. We're gonna pretend like, oh, you, like there's enough characters, there's enough going on right now that nobody's gonna like who like. Even people who Ralph was their favorite character probably have forgotten that he's on this show.
I don't know. But I
all right, maybe that's too much. I
feel like there's just going to be a scene where it was like Ralph and Sue died on the way back to their home planet, like they did with the dog and the Itchy and Scratchy cartoons on The Simpsons. Yeah, uh-huh. it's going to be something like that, like or MASH, you know, Ralph and Sue's plane turned in over the Pacific. There were no survivors kind of thing.
That I mean, yeah, that could be it.
Yeah, but yeah. So, but Camilla, I don't know. Like, I feel like if she does go, that's going to be an exit for Cisco, because if she goes, it's going to be like, you know, Cisco's going to be like, look, I can't do this stuff anymore. I can't be losing people that I love all the time. I'm not a superpowered person. Chester can make all the tech. You have yeah. a replacement for me. I'm going to go live my life and you know, maybe not have everyone I love die.
Yeah. Well, you know, that which as you do, Cisco back in this episode, which was great to see, you know, you mentioned that kind of sense of like purpose or like kind of him trying to figure out like, why are you still here? Because as you point out, Chester obviously does kind of facilitate that role. And even this week, Barry was like hardcore in the super genius department, making Cisco. And at first you thought maybe Cisco's arc this episode was really going to be about him dealing with the fact that like, oh, Barry's smart now. That used to be my thing, but
yeah, clearly, you know? Not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was another thing too. I was like, well, you know, with Chester making gadgets and Barry telling Chester how to do it with all the math, it's like, you know, Cisco can step aside or whatnot, but no, Barry's not smart anymore.
We got Atlantean technology. Of course, Cisco has been a kind of a super fan of Atlantis since returning. And I feel like Atlantean technology has kind of become the new, like, oh, it was from Atlantis, so that's
why.
Yeah,
the OMG science is just all Atlantis.
Yeah. Although he did have the quantum ball.
Yeah, the quantum ball, trademark pending.
Trademark pending.
Yeah. Which yeah.
I don't know how sellable that's going to be. It seemed quite dangerous. I liked how that played out in the big final battle, but...
I was reminded of a... I think it's from the movie Black Dynamite, but there's a scene where he's like going into this basement to fight these bad guys. And like, you see him like bust in through the basement window and like he's fighting one dude. And then another guy like gets killed by like a ninja star. And he's like, I threw that bleep before I came inside. Like, it just reminded me of Barry like throwing the ball and they're all trying to get him down. And he's like, you lost this before you even started. Then the ball comes back and knocks them all out.
Right. That was pretty cool. That was pretty
sweet. That was neat. I appreciated that.
No, that was good. I liked that the use of that the quantum ball coming back, and for me, man, it evoked a lot of Jedi training, kind of the Jedi remote type situation.
Yeah,
because it was a lot like, you know, predict where it's going to be. This power, the super speed thinking, where did you think? What was your thoughts on that? Like, did you see kind of what was going on with that, or like, well, let me put it this way. I saw that. I immediately thought it had more to do with him literally like looking to the future with the Speed Force as opposed to running a simulation.
I think he's just running scenarios in his head.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they said, but to me, I don't know. Like, it was a little confusing at first. Cause like I said, I thought that we were getting like literally him. Okay. So we've seen different speedsters use the Speed Force in different ways. And I'm thinking specifically about how Nora could rewind time without traveling through time. You remember that?
Yeah.
So I thought it was something like that. Like, instead of traveling to the future, it was almost as if he was like fast forwarding to the future and then rewinding back as opposed to literally traveling through time. So kind of like a reverse of what Nora was able to do.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Almost to the fact that I thought that maybe that was at play, except they kept on using the word simulation and he kept on acting like a robot. So
I don't think that's where they're going for. I think it was just merely him thinking of every single possible scenario that he could think of.
Yeah.
You know, clearly he didn't think about, which is so weird to me. He's like, he wouldn't even think about, oh no, Cisco and they surely wouldn't vote to do this. Like that was kind of weird.
Yeah, I got the explanation for it. I wasn't too torn.
I mean, maybe Allegra would be like, let's. She has bigger connection to Iris. Well, I guess she got a connection to Camilla too.
Well, I think it's just the nature of like what we got. I mean, he was thinking logically, right? Like, and he was trying to apply them because he couldn't process their emotion. So he was thinking that they would logically think, oh, two versus one, as opposed to thinking as he was thinking, which is like, okay, she has more information, therefore we need to go with her. But I think that he was even kind of clouding his own vision, because even though he was saying he wasn't thinking emotionally, the reality is, you know, he was thinking emotionally. That, you know, that he is thinking about it from the standpoint of like, he can make the argument that this is logical, but it's still Iris. Like, there is still more at play, even when his emotions are dialed down to like negative 32. I mean, we see that at the end where he's like, when he realizes that everything went wrong, he gets emotional. So he's not completely devoid of emotion.
Right. Yeah. But I think, you know, his problem with his simulation there in that particular case was that he was thinking that they would be thinking logically like he was, but they, you know, they clearly weren't.
Cause he couldn't process emotion. Couldn't process emotion. And what I love though, is that we do get, you know, a contingency plan that we see in play, right?
Oh, yeah, like the kind of like the Batman, you know, in case the Justice League goes bad, I got to take everybody out plan.
Yeah, that was awesome. Okay, so I've already alluded to it. This was for me, and I'm pretty sure this is the case. Like, this was the best, like the most epic fight sequence that we've seen on this series thus far.
So, yeah, and I think the one particular part that I love the most out of all of it, and it's one of my favorite scenes from Justice League. Like, say what you will about the movie, this one scene I thought was super cool. And it was when the Flash is going to go and try and hit Superman, and he's running behind him, and like Superman's grabbing him, and he like just turns around and looks at him, and then the Flash is like, "Oh crap!"
No, I don't care who you are. That was awesome. You can hate that movie, and you cannot hate that scene.
Yeah, and I got that vibe when Frost used the Velocity X, because like, you know, he's sitting there and like, you know, he's starting to flash up and like you see the lightning and stuff. And then she's like, you know, sticking it and like she's tracking him with it with her eyes and stuff. And I was just like, oh, what's going on? And then you see the velocity and you're like, oh, no,
it's about to go down.
It's the Frost Force. Okay.
The Frost Force, man. Come on. That was awesome. That was absolutely incredible. All right. So the fact that they have this kind of contingency plan is pretty incredible. You almost kind of you expect this, right? Like that we'd have somebody like Cisco kind of ready to deal with a rogue Flash, that this would be something he would have been planning for some time. And as you mentioned, it's the tough love. They're not trying to kill him. They're trying to, you know, get him like the Flash. He's one of those characters, right? There is a pseudo godlike ability to be able to control time in such a way and to be able to control speed in such a way that's like, okay, the second you think this guy goes off, you have to treat it like it's an absolute certainty. Not to quote Justice League again, but you gotta be ready to handle your business, because if he knows that you're onto him, then he's gone. Literally, he's gone. He could be anywhere on the planet or in time. So you gotta handle this stuff with that tough love, kind of quick. And it was cool to be able to see that enacted. Oh man, where do I even want to start with this? So it was great because it was obviously an emotional fight for everybody that was involved, but they were ready for it. I loved the fact that we got a chance to see Allegra. While obviously her dynamic with Nash was not my favorite plot line, I do actually like the fact that we get to see her utilizing some of Nash's gadgets.
Yeah.
One of the coolest things about that Wells was, you know, this kind of like Indiana Jones-esque kind of connection that he had to the multiverse and all of these different kind of crystals and magic and gadgets and science and that sort of thing. It's cool to see her. If that storyline leads to an Allegra that adopts some of those same practices, I think that makes a better character than Ethan Both was. Because even though it was a cool thing that Wells had, he still wasn't my favorite Wells. And so seeing Allegra utilize some of that, I don't know, it kind of works for me. But yeah, so Allegra and the fight. What were your thoughts on
it? It's pretty neat. Like the little it was cool seeing her, you know, wear Harrison's or Nash's little satchel thing, and then like using the weird, I don't know what you call those, teleportation smoke bombs.
Crystals. Yeah. It was a crystal.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. I liked it. I thought she did. I think she was underplayed by, and Cisco really was as well by Frost.
We're going to get, that's why I'm starting with man. We're going to get there. All right.
But yeah, she was cool. She was cool. She did the 1-2 combo of like, you know, knocking Flash back into the speed lab. That was pretty cool.
And
Cisco shot him. That was pretty cool.
He definitely shot. Now, if he had his vibe powers, that would have been even cooler. It would have been a different story, but he didn't. So he brought a Harry. I think that was even Harry's gun, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So I love that. Like you mentioned, you know, obviously last week, kind of the missing out of Cisco not being there for Harry, and we'll talk about the kind of the funeral and the send off and the, you know, the pseudo museum that we saw kind of at the beginning here in just a minute. But so he's busting out Harry's gun. So it is kind of, you know, just as Allegra is utilizing Nash's, kind of legacy weapons, we see Cisco using Harry's legacy weapons. So we see kind of a return with all of these characters utilizing things that we've seen from past seasons, a continuation of the technology, even like, you know, referencing the Thinker earlier on, we see kind of a continuation of the use of, you know, we don't forget things that happened in previous seasons. We actually utilize a lot of those technologies. I mean, unless it's like, you know, Sing's husband or Joe's daughter or, you know, like those, like we see a lot of things being used. I say daughter. No, I'm sorry. Goodness. Sorry. Cecile's yeah. daughter. And then Joe and Cecile's kid on top of that, yeah. the baby. So like, you know, there are, you know, some people that we forget about, but in terms of the technology, we never forget about technology. And so it was great to see that. It's great to see that come back.
Absolutely.
So, anything else happening?
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Okay. All right. So first of all, we get a chance to see the velocity coming into play again. A continuation, by the way, throughout this episode of the blue lightning implying an artificial connection to the Speed Force. Not only did, of course, we see a continuation with velocity utilizing it in the same way with Killer Frost, which looked amazing with her power set.
Yeah.
Can't wait, man. This was incredible fight sequence. But to jump ahead a little bit, we also saw that coming into play when Barry lost the artificial Speed Force. It was not white. It was not white lightning. It was not yellow lightning. It was blue lightning that was going all around him, communicating that disconnect, that fictional or not fictional, but that false connection to the Speed Force, a rejection of any kind of Speed Force even being present. And so we see this like you know, sometimes, like we've speculated about the lightning colors and how that kind of comes into play. And like, you know, this is kind of how we see it, but maybe we're wrong. And I've questioned myself in the past. No, I never felt stronger on the whole concept of what blue lightning means on this show.
I think the writers actually listened to our podcast and they're like, you know what, that's really good. Let's run with that. And they kept it consistent throughout,
obviously,
you know.
Obviously, that's exactly what they do. Yeah. Because why? Which it's our podcast. Are you kidding? Nobody's listening to this podcast anymore. But
except for all of you glorious listeners.
Yes. Y'all are the ones. Y'all are the chosen. You have survived to listen to the show. But no, dude, Killer Frost injecting velocity, get like Speedster Frost, the Frost Force. Thoughts?
Thought it was super cool. Thought it looked awesome. She, you know, was using her powers in super speed because, like, you know, she's built ice walls and stuff before, but they were built in normal time. And now we had some Flash time moments there where she's like building stuff super fast, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yes.
Shooting lightning frost bolts. That was super cool. Yeah. Like it was just, you know, running up buildings and stuff. She got the hang of it real quick, too, it seems.
Yeah, well, and we saw that with Iris as well, right? There is like, you know, and to some extent, we saw it even with Barry when he first got super speed. It's not that hard to figure out. There's some aspects of it that are a little bit more difficult, like phasing through things or, you know, one imagines hurling lightning, although she got that. You know what? You're right. She got a lot of this stuff figured out pretty quick, didn't she?
Well, like I would figure like if I immediately just randomly got super speed and I wanted to test it out, I think stopping, slowing down, changing direction, stuff like that would be pretty difficult.
Yeah, no, this. I mean,
it was for Barry when he first started. He ran into the laundry truck, remember?
Yeah, but she's been with them for the training. I'm fine with the fact that she's able to pick it up.
I think it's cool. Yeah, and I agree. Like, it's,
and it tracks as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's you know, I'm sure she's got a lot of experience with Flash, and so she may, you know, have gleaned some information on like how to do that. So yeah, it's no biggie.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was awesome. Okay, so the cool thing was that she was able to utilize not just his powers but also her powers, or at least not just the speed but also her power as well. Which, now that was probably the biggest thing that I was trying to kind of wrap my head around, because it was kind of communicated early on, especially with Captain Cold, the notion that like Frost is, and I don't mean Frost the character, I mean like just the cold power, like the utilization of like freezing things is something that is kind of supposed to shut off the Flash to some extent. It's supposed to be, or was supposed to be at one point anyway, kind of like his kryptonite, which is why Captain Cold was such a kind of a threat.
Yeah.
You remember this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you know, it's sort of his antithesis, right? Like that's, it's sort of always been like that. But I think it's different with Frost, because she's a meta and like she's immune to her own cold, right? So cold doesn't affect her. She's immune to her own power set, because otherwise, you know, it wouldn't be very good to have any sort of powers.
Well, it wasn't less about like, you know, the speed being impacted by, or the cold being impacted by the speed. I guess it was the notion that like her getting the speed would shut. Well, fair. I don't know. That was just one I had to kind of wrap my head around a little bit.
Well, right. Like, you know, the speed gun, Barry gets shot with the speed gun, like it freezes him in place, slows down his metabolism or whatever. Right. Frost getting shot by a cold gun wouldn't do anything to her, because she's a meta who's adapted to cold.
Okay.
So basically she as a speedster could not be beaten by Captain Cold with a speed gun, whereas the Flash could.
Ooh. Okay. All right. That's interesting. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. All right. I'm tracking with you now.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Because like, you know, like Barry without the Speed Force getting shot with a cold gun would freeze, just like Barry with the Speed Force shot with a cold gun would freeze, whereas Frost wouldn't, because she's a cold villain, right? Like, or she's a cold hero, I guess, in this point.
So she's incredibly overpowered. Like, she's way
OP. So she's totally OP in this moment. Like, her with speed powers is like the ultimate. Like, I mean, how do you stop her? Just wait for the velocity to turn around, I guess.
Yeah, I was about to say it's gonna run out eventually. Interesting. All right, fair enough. No, I thought it was good, man. It excited me for how we might see that in play in the future. One imagines that there's a reason why, you know, we use that concept sparingly. The notion that anybody can become a speedster, with an injection, and so I love the way that it worked out. I think it was great. And even like at the very end when she was kind of running on fumes, we saw her like lightening up on one hand and then freeze up on the other hand. I thought it was awesome, man. I did not expect that to happen ever in the series, and probably one of the coolest things that's happened. So
yeah, it was super cool. Thought it was very well executed as far as like the CG and stuff like that goes. And yeah, it was great. It was wonderful. A lot of fun.
So before we jump to the end, man, I want to toss it back to the beginning. We had kind of this pseudo funeral for all of the various Wellses that we've seen in the past, and it's taking place in kind of this memorial room where we have a lot of costumes from before. You could see like Firestorm rather back there. You've got, it almost kind of feels like a mini Flash Museum.
I got big Flash Museum vibes from it for sure, but it's more like a Flash mausoleum because everyone in there's dead.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a fallen heroes type of situation for sure. But I thought it was cool. It was nice to see that. It was nice to kind of see all that at play and that sort of thing. I am curious, do you think that, I mean, like, I feel like we've asked this question before, but do you feel like this is an indication that one day we might see the Flash Museum?
We've been asking that question since the freaking season one. So I think we will. I mean, we've seen it in the Nora episodes.
Yeah, but like that's the thing. We've seen it in the context of, you know, the future. It's like, you know, this is gonna happen, but will we ever actually see it?
Probably in the last season.
You think in the last season? So that'll be one of those. It's like when Barry's creating Gideon. No, I guess he created Gideon this season.
When he created Micro Gideon.
That's right. He created Micro Gideon. All right, fair enough. So we might see it in the last season, the Flash Museum. Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'm just curious. We did, it's impossible to see any kind of like, you know, statues of fallen heroes and not think, and at least in this series, and not think of the Flash Museum. But I think it is also a reminder that, you know, a lot of, you know, the hero work is not easy, and it does take its toll. And, you know, there are those that die and go away and pass in the service of the hero work. Some of them, you know, have kind of these great and powerful, you know, superpowers, and others are just, you know, really smart people that kind of are thrust into the call to action that they received across the multiverse. And in the end, have to lay down their lives so that the Flash can get, I guess, smart for like an episode.
Yes. And, sorry. And, you know, I just put that together. Yeah. All those Wells have sacrificed themselves for only all of their hard work to be erased one episode later.
Oh, completely erased. Yeah. Try not to think about that too
much. Oh, man. I wish I hadn't said anything. I would have just glazed over that and like not even realized it. But yeah, absolutely. The Wells have sacrificed themselves for literally zero reason.
Absolutely nothing. Yeah, no, that's accurate. But no, it wasn't for zero reason, man. Like that's the thing, because, well, you know what? That's going to bring us to this week's
Speedster Speculation.
All right. The Wellses did not sacrifice themselves for no reason, because we got him, ladies and gentlemen, the original, the OG Harrison Wells. And I don't mean H. Geobard. I mean the dude that H. Geobard offed that we haven't really even seen, but for like one scene in a flashback.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
Harrison Wells returns.
Well, okay, hold on. We saw him in a flashback, and then we saw his corpse when Cisco exhumed it.
that was gross. No, that's the thing, right? So we've got, after Barry destroyed the artificial speed force, we get those tachyons or whatever they are, the green particles that all the Wellses became in order to power the thing. All of those go and they reconstitute in Earth Prime as the Earth One version of Harrison Wells. Assuming that he now, I think because of the way that everything kind of went down, I think the assumption here is that he's not Mega Wells. Mega Wells is dead. We saw the death of Mega Wells.
Yeah, but like the particles were not that color. They weren't green. Weren't they yellow?
No, they were green, man.
The particles that reanimated Earth One Wells were, but I'm saying the particles that the council and Nash gave off when he was grabbing the thing, like it was kind of like orangey yellow. And
I thought they were green. Now, in all fairness, man, I don't always have like the best like connection in television, you know, quality.
I'll have to go back and look. In fact, even because I'm not, for some reason, were they red? They were red.
I don't think so. Because if they were red, that would have given me like some like strong like Eobard vibes. I don't think they were red. I'm pretty sure they were green. You know what? This is one of those things. So, you know, occasionally we get flack for not being prepared. But this is all speculation. You're not supposed to come to speculation prepared. But y'all correct us. Let us know which one they were. I interpreted that. This is just how I interpreted it. That was the release of the same kind of energy, you know, multiversal energy that the Harrison Wells or the Council of Wells gave their lives for. And since Barry destroyed the artificial speed force, it re-released that energy, which like came and basically resurrected the original Harrison Wells of this Earth, the Harrison Wells essentially of Earth Prime.
Yes, I agree with you. That was what I took away from that. I just thought it was weird because I thought the colors were, or the particles were a different color. And that's what kind of weirded me out. I was like, well, clearly I think that's what they're trying to represent here. I thought the colors were a different color. And maybe I'm wrong. It wouldn't be the first time. Definitely won't be the last.
Yeah, it definitely wouldn't be the first time. So the implication here, I'm a little confused because it said once upon a time, right? Like, so that scene was literally a flashback to when that occurred on this Earth, which also kind of, by the way, confirms that on Earth Prime, you know, a continuation of the confirmation that on Earth Prime, things pretty much happened the exact same way they happened in season one, right? Like there's very, very little difference overall.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It said once upon a time.
Ooh, so I guess that...
It didn't say 20 years ago. It said once upon a time.
Well, maybe that's... it could be just them giving themselves an out if they need to crisis some stuff.
Yeah, and that was also interesting, too, the once upon a time. I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, so, my guess here is that
Earth doesn't live anymore for, like, current actions to have implications on a pre-crisis Earth 1. You know what I mean? Like, that has to be... that has to be this Earth's history.
Yeah, unless they're about to, like, you know, be like, oh, yeah, by the way, the multiverse still exists.
Well, I think they are about to be like, the multiverse still exists.
Well, the multiverse does still exist.
Right.
It's just none of the characters on the show know it.
Well, not yet, but they will. That's happening. That's definitely going to happen at some point. But so, yeah. All right, but here's my question. Did that happen, because this is what I was a little confused on. Did that happen, was he reconstituted in the past or in the present?
See, that was my question too. And I think he was reconstituted in the present, because it wouldn't make sense for him to, the particles weren't there in the past. And granted, time travel rules are different depending on, you know, what show or movie or whatever you're watching.
Or episode, but, sure.
Or episode, yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, yeah.
I think he was reconstituted the moment Barry destroyed the ASF.
Okay, so that makes the most sense, but given the fact they never actually stated that, and it kind of left us at the once upon a time moment, it's kind of a little it's a little up in the air, right?
Well, I was halfway expecting them to do something like, you know, they showed the corpse in the shallow grave. They showed the Reverse Flash burying it, and then the camera, you know, panned down to like ground level, and you saw that the things reanimate Wells.
Right.
And I kind of thought that they would have shown like a sort of passage of time kind of thing, maybe shown like, you know, overgrowing rocks or whatever. But it looked exactly the same. So I don't know.
Huh. You know, there's a speculation that this was going to be the series finale cliffhanger, as opposed to, like, you know, whatever episode this, you know, theoretically would have fallen into at the time.
Without them beating Ava, really?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's my understanding. Well, I mean, again, this is a theory. I'm not saying that it's accurate. I'm just saying that there are people out there that are saying that this was going to be how how they were going to leave us at the end of the season.
Probably this scene. Yeah. Because this scene wasn't connected to the rest of the episode at all.
Right, exactly. Well, and I mean, we're getting so many cliffhangers. You get the sense that we are kind of seeing what we knew was going to happen, which is like a combination of several different episodes kind of being like forced into one.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that's been cut around, I feel.
Yeah.
This in particular is one of them. But yeah, like I think the cliffhanger that we saw there, I don't think that's going to come back. I don't think we're going to see Wells in the next episode.
I don't know. Cause they've recut a lot of these episodes. Like they're not what they once were. I think it'd be a major disappointment if that was the case. I think at the very least we have to have something at the end of the episode teasing it.
Yeah. He's not going to show up until the teaser at the end of the episode. And that's going to set up, episode 4. For being the new stuff.
Peace.
The new,
yes.
Sun Man's going to show up, or Solar Man, a Nuclear Man, whatever his name is.
The Nuclear Man.
Yes. I'm Molecular. Sorry.
That's good.
I don't think we're going to see him again. I think that was a teaser just to kind of, like, you know, tease it out, right? And I think we might, the cliffhanger we're going to get there is going to be at the end of what was supposed to be last season finale, which is going to be episode 3 of this season.
Okay.
So Ava's going to be defeated. Everything's going to be good. We're going to say, I mean, maybe we'll say our goodbyes or whatever. And then Harry's going to show up at the end and they're going to be like, what? And then we're going to have the lead into the new episodes for this season.
Yeah. The post COVID. I mean, I stand by the assumption that we're already getting some post COVID like bits intertwined in some of these episodes.
Yeah, I think they've shot some new scenes and like weaved them in and stuff.
Yeah. So, but we'll be heading in that direction. Okay, cool. Well, I'm excited, man. Like it's going to be great because we kind of get a character that I feel like a lot of people think they know, but we really just don't. We don't know anything about this Harrison Wells. My guess is he'll be very similar to you know, H. Geobard, in terms of kind of the acting portrayal. I get the sense that, you know, obviously, Eobard kind of based his portrayal of Harrison Wells from what he knew of the original Harrison Wells of his timeline. So theoretically speaking, this will seem like a familiar character to a lot of the characters that we know. And I'm excited, man. Like, the one true Wells has returned. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens. But one way or the other, we're looking forward to exploring it with y'all.
Absolutely.
Hey, this is Patrick Sabongi, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk.
Hi, ma'am. Some listener feedback thoughts. I got some tweets in from folks. Let's see what all we had here. Let's see. Steve is saying Grant has been so many different characters in the last two episodes. What a wide range of good work. Yes, absolutely. We also have Mari tweeting in saying, bring Wells back now. P.S. Grant's comedy acting skills in episode one, though, was incredible. A lot of crying emojis with happy laughter. yes, I just watched today the first two episodes of season seven. Sorry, Mari, don't apologize for that. This is a great time. Like, those are two very bingeable episodes. So well done.
Very much.
D Flash says, obviously the original pre-Flash Crisis Wells won't know who Barry Allen is. Now that's a good point. Actually,
very good point.
This person is going to come in. Think about it. Actually, this is the guy that like founded Star Labs that Barry now owns. You know what I mean? Like, and if we can assume
he's gonna be like,
that
give me back my company, and he's going to be like, nah.
Yeah. Like, no, this is mine now. Like, and if we can assume that at least a majority of what we've seen on screen is part of Earth Prime, he's wanted for murder. So I mean, like, they got to address some stuff. He's confessed. Like, this was the one that confessed, theoretically.
I don't think that stuff is stuck, because I don't think they're going to have him, because they had the device from Earth 2 to like change his face. I don't think they're going to bring that stuff back.
No, they're going to, the warrant for his arrest is with the baby and, you know, Cecile's daughter and Singh's husband. They're all hanging out together.
Yeah, like I think
never to be referenced again.
I think Oliver was like, you know what, this is going to be too difficult to deal with in season seven when they bring back the OG Harry. So let's just hand wave that stuff away.
It never happened. It's fine.
Yeah.
Travis is saying great acting by Grant Gustin on the gradual change of his personality to being almost robotic in his thinking. Yes, I agree. I think he did. It was kind of the transition. In my mind, he went from kind of a Spock to a Data, to use Bell's analogy from earlier.
Yeah.
You disagree?
I mean, I don't know.
You're still bitter. They went with that trope. No, that's fine. That's still fine. Bitter. Well, great thoughts, guys. Thank you all so much. And hey, we want to encourage all of y'all to head over to iTunes, write us a review. It's a great way to help the show, especially now that we are back, baby. So if you're enjoying it, that is a great way to let us know. Again, head over to iTunes, write us those reviews. We'd love getting your thoughts and your feedback as well. You can follow us on the Twitters at Flash TV Talk.
But if 280 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
And for a lot of other great stuff, head over to facebook.com/flashTV Talk. That's right. We got a Facebook page, and that's what it is. facebook.com/flashTV Talk.
And as always, special thanks to Charlie Bach for providing music for our show. You can check out the rest of his awesome stuff at soundcloud.com/Charlie Bach.
Also, if you like good TV talking podcasts, head over to tvtalk.fm, where you will find us and some of our friends. And if you enjoyed all of this, well, don't worry. We'll be back in a flash. Yeah, I said that in kind of a weird way, but that's all right. I'm sticking with it. I'm standing taut.
And scene.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.